Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
All right, good afternoon.
Spiegel and Company.
We're Spiegs.
I'm right here.
Afternoons on the Score.
Let's get the latest on the Bears from our dear friend Mark Grody. Who are the Bears? What is the identity? Who are they on offense, Rhodes?
Oh boy. Kids might want to close your ears for this one. Matt Eberflus was asked about the team's offensive identity.
We're working. Yeah, we're working. You know, so it's we're working, and guys are working in fundamentals, and we're figuring out what we do. Well, now we're working run game, all the other things that come off of that, and like I said, we're a work in progress, and the guys are working to get that done.
Oh, boy.
Seven work-ins, by the way.
We're working. Yeah, we're working. Working. Like I said, we're working to get that done.
Taking what they're given, because we're working for a living.
What they're giving, cause I'm working for a living.
We're working. Yeah, we're working.
Huey Lewis in the news?
No, thank you very much.
You like Huey Lewis in the news? Their early work was a little too new wave for my taste. But when sports came out in 83, I think they really came into their own.
You know, maybe he's working for the weekend, like Loverboy. You know? You never know.
We're working. Everybody's working for the weekend. Yeah, we're working. Like I said, we're working.
He was right. The Wilkin man is a sucker, Dad. He's a sucker.
He's wrong. It don't take much strength to pull a trigger, but try and get up every morning, day after day, and work for a living. Let's see him try that. Then we'll see who's the real tough guy. The working man is a tough guy.
Oh, yeah. Spiegel, I love your music story.
I do. Better than music songs.
Did you ever pass along our music songs?
Work. Spiegel and Company.
Nobody get that phone. We got company.
Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
It is indeed Spiegel and Company, and we are working for a living. I get to work with a different person today, as has been the case for the last month or so. It's been fun on Spiegel and Company, whether it's a Ruthie Polinsky here, a Dan Wiederer there, a Seal here, and a Seal here. It's got all different kinds of people, and today we get Paulie Pabst, he of the Dan Patrick Show, and the tailgate on Saturday mornings here on The Score. What's up, Paulie?
Matt, this is a thrill for me to be on The Score, to be with you guys. I listen to you guys all the time. I think Tannehill's an absolute genius. You almost lost me at the open. He's cracking me up. It's just great to be on the show, man.
That's awesome. Yeah, Tanny's the best.
Good start today, guys. keep it going.
Tanny likes it. Wait. Good job, Panderman. Speaks and Panderman here. Just remember that Shane Reardon tells Tanny what audio to play. Every morning there's a text. I think it's by like 6 a.m. Shane texts every bit of audio that Tanny will use.
The night before.
No matter if the games have been played or not, Shane just knows. We're going to have some fun today talking all things Bears and Chicago and sports and things and some Cubs mixed in. I have a scoop coming to you from a Arizona jewelry store. This is a little bit of a scoop for me that I'll bring to you later on. But look, we're going to get to Mark Grody with the latest from Bears practice, including sound of the coordinators. We'll get to Dave Wanstead as we do on Thursdays. Looking forward to talking to Wani. Paulie, you got to be looking forward to talking to Wani. He's the best.
Absolutely. I think I went as Dave Wannstedt to a Halloween one time. I didn't have a mustache. I had a fake one. But yeah, I did the whole thing. I tried to go deeper cut. In the old days, people used to go as Ditka. I went as Wannstedt for Halloween one year.
That's outstanding.
Hee ha ha.
What was, how do you complete the Wannstedt costume? What do you need?
Yeah, you got to part the hair down the middle, maybe blow dry it a little bit back in the late 80s, early 90s. That's a look I was going for.
Yeah, right. That feathered hair look is a good one. And so we've got a lot of stuff to talk to about, but it feels like we should calm the waters from what has been a very bumpy week. This week, doesn't this week feel bumpier than it should in regards to a 1-1 Bears team at this point?
It does. It feels really heavy this week. And listening to you guys all week in the morning show, if you go back a month ago and I said, hey, the Bears are going to be 1-1 and a close loss on national TV to a very good Texans team, you'd be like, sign me up. We got an easier schedule after that. But that game on Sunday, it felt heavier than it should have been. The result was close, but it didn't feel like that way. And it's been a tense week. And it just keeps going with, you know, Adunze's dad. I'm sure we're going to get to that. But it feels dramatic this week.
Yeah, you know, James Adunze, Rome's dad, tweeted without context a shot of Rome Adunze, and it was like about a 5-second tweet or something like that, and it was Rome Adunze running a pattern in the end zone, getting open. And it was taken by a lot of people as like, oh boy, is this an Odell Beckham Sr. situation? I almost said Odell Beckham Jr. Sr., because that's the way I think of it, but that's not how it works. It's just an Odell Beckham Sr. who kind of got out there and like pointed out that his son was always open and the quarterbacks just needed to find him. So a lot of people took it that way and were like, Rome Adunze's dad is stoking the flames. But he was shooting back at Dan Orlovsky.
Yeah, parents and social media don't mix. We all know that. Parents and NFL players' social media really doesn't mix. People don't look at context. What they do is took what Mr. Adunze said, and it was going at Dan Orlovsky. He was critiquing his critique of his son. But people start on social media, they get loose with context. And next thing you know, it becomes a thing. And the next thing you know, there's a press conference. Someone's got to answer a question. That's where it really starts snowballing.
Yeah. So Rome, Dan Orlovsky wrote on Twitter that the Bears and Caleb are going to have to get comfortable giving Rome more covered opportunities. Rome isn't getting open at this level right now. Caleb will have to get comfortable throwing him some 50-50 balls. So Orlovsky's saying that Rome isn't getting open. That pissed off Papa Adunze. But that's just one example of what has been a very noisy week.
Yeah, it's been really noisy. I think, you know, I know we're going to go on to the games that happened or coming up this week. But, you know, when a running back gets hurt and gets banged up, if you know, like the LA Rams have some problems. They've got a couple injured guys. The Christian McCaffrey's out for the Niners. And that hurts. But when you're a Bears fan and you hear the offensive line is in shambles and it's week two, it's like finding out you bought a house and it's got mold. It feels like a deeper hurt, not just a player's hurt, but like our offensive line isn't working. And the one thing that really is scary to me is the number one thing you heard in Chicago on your show, every other show, we have to fix the offensive line. What does that mean? What does it mean?
It means bringing in quality people. They haven't done that. Yeah, and you're talking about the whole offseason. The whole offseason we're talking about. I've been talking about it for 3 years, man. About it for 3 years. Their attitude towards center enrages me and has for a while. Paulie, maybe you don't know. I mean, I don't know how much you've had a chance to listen through the years. But I was a center for 4 years of intramural flag football at Emerson College. We played on the Esplanade there, right on the water.
Shockingly, I hadn't heard about that. I missed that on YouTube.
I'm sorry, but there is some stuff. If you'd like to see highlights of our semifinal game against SAE, where
spoil it for me. Don't spoil it.
Mike Sullivan on SAE, their edge rusher, stepped on the face of my quarterback, and I lost it. I absolutely lost it, got kicked out of the game. But I know I inspired the team at the same time. I had some Olin Kreutz in me, frankly. So for 4 years, I played center at a fairly high level. But the way that Ryan Poles and these guys have thought about center, like it's just like they can just put anybody there who is smart. You know, no, you need an ass kicker. You need an absolute a-hole in that spot. Somebody who's not afraid to deliver punishment. And they have not done that. And they didn't do it again. And it's biting them in the ass again.
And I think it really goes back to the NFL draft. And when you're watching the draft as a fan, you're charged up. You want them to draft a skill position player. Whenever they say blank blank has drafted center out of Nebraska, you hear the crowd go, oh, great. But a couple of years ago, the Lions drafted Frank Ragnor, the center, and he's fantastic for them. All he does is play good football. If you go back to this draft, believe me, when Rome Odunze was on the board and I saw it, I fell for it. I had the, you know, the beer goggles on. I was like, Rome Odunze, we got to get him. But you're also thinking, we really need offensive line. And they did it last year. Do they do it this year? It still bothers me just a little bit.
Well, the thing is, at nine, there was a tackle. They could have gone Olu Fashanu. They could have gone tackle and done something with Braxton Jones. But that's not where you take a center. But what they could have done is cashed in next year's extra second rounder that they have. It's the one final benefit from the Carolina trade. They could have possibly used that to trade into this draft and take somebody like Zach Frazier, who went to the Steelers.
Sure.
Like, take somebody down a little bit lower in round one or in round two, and clean up center and give their young quarterback a young center as well as a young wide receiver. Can you imagine giving Caleb his Jason Kelce? I was calling for that for Justin Fields for the last 3 years. Give him a badass young center that he can ride behind and feel good about.
And Matt, you know the business of football. You have 3, maybe 4 years to have a quarterback on a rookie contract, and you have to surround him with offensive line talent right off the bat. If you go back to when Dak Prescott was taken, who was not near a prospect that Caleb Williams was, he walked into the Dallas Cowboys with probably the best offensive line in football. Zach Martin, you can go on and on. And that's the way you set up a rookie for success. Look, I know the Bears took a second-round draft pick at tackle, a guy from the Ivy League, not necessarily people who make instant impact. It's just, it's a bit frustrating, even though, and it's nothing against Odunze. Love him. One of the best players in college football. But it's like, you have a window of 4 years with this contract and you have to protect it. We'll talk about it later, but it's like what Carolina's doing with their quarterback.
Well, I want to get some of your thoughts on Bryce Young, as we really haven't touched on that very much on this show. But there's been other noise too this week. There's been C.J. Stroud's moment with Caleb Williams at the end of the game. And I know you said that you guys kind of dealt with that a little bit on the DP show. But, it's amazing what a life those things can have. And Stroud was asked about it yesterday down in Houston, had to comment on it. I kind of like what Jason Leisure said to our midday show earlier in the day, that they chose as a Bears beat to not ask Caleb about it, to not like muddy the waters further and deal with it, and to give the likes of you, Paulie, to give the likes of you further fodder, because we don't need that. We're on to Indianapolis here in this town.
But yeah, we almost covered the coverage of it on the Dan Patrick show. It's not a real story. You know, usually players aren't mic'd up. CJ Stroud happened to be mic'd up and the audio was released. And Caleb Williams, if you're going to nitpick how he reacted to a CJ Stroud saying something to him, you probably have an agenda with Caleb Williams, and it's going to further yours in one way or another.
Yeah, I think that's true. So, what other noises has there been? Because it feels like there's been a lot. Obviously, Belichick ripping the team, ripping the construction of the team, and then all the stuff with the offensive line. Nate Davis talking and saying very little yesterday. There's been a lot of stuff.
By the way, Matt, my favorite thing on social media is when overly angry Bears fans react. And when Bill Belichick had that clip where he's, you know, downplaying how good Caleb is or how good his preseason was, people are saying, what does he know? What does he know about football? You can say whatever you want about Belichick. You don't like his sweatshirts. You don't like how he did things with the Patriots. But what does he know is a tough one.
Yeah. Well, you know, but here's the thing. When he talks about, you know, prioritizing the middle of the offensive line and being able to run the ball, It can sound old. It can sound old. It can sound stuck in the mud. And, you know, it's a guy who just got drummed out of the league. As great as he is, he eventually gets drummed out of the league. But, you know, we can talk about it more at the top of the hour. This is a moment in the NFL when the run game is back, baby. The run game is back in a big effing way right now, and having control of your offensive line and using them to instill damage in the game is back in a big way, if it ever actually left.
Yeah, if you check the stats, it's the most running attempts in the first 2 weeks of the season since 1984, which is kind of peak running back era. And I think Jim Harbaugh out with the Chargers is really leading the charge. He's got a great quarterback. But he's like, you know what? Remember Troy Aikman would throw 18 passes a game? There's nothing wrong with that if you're winning. He's got J.K. Dobbins. He's running the ball. Believe me, Bears fans would love to go in that direction.
Yeah, you know, I was afraid of Harbaugh. in those conversations in the offseason because he's a wackadoodle. But but man, he just knows what the hell he's doing. They went and grabbed Joe Alt, and they've got a big and strong offensive line. They run out of the I formation a lot and just kind of set it up, utilizing the fullback and utilizing the full-on beef, telling you this is what we are going to do, and then doing it, which just... And we know from all the football players we get to talk to, Paulie, they believe in that because then they feel a sense of confidence and a sense of toughness, a sense of dominance. You know, what was Mark Schlereth's his metric?
Dishing out justice. Yeah. That was my favorite thing that Schlereth said.
His only metric that he likes in terms of analytics, the only analytic, BOO, right? Balls over
opponent.
Opponent,
right?
Yeah. Balls over opponent. Do you have bigger balls than your opponent? That's the only thing. It has a lot of will to win. Like TW. It's got a lot of the will to win in there, mixed in with Hawk Harrelson. But balls over opponent. You ask an offensive lineman, that matters to them.
I would love to see that stat used more weekly. Like I could see Al Michaels just, you know, let's take a look at this one. What's the balls over opponent ratio this weekend? Let's check the meter on the balls over opponent.
Al might like it actually. Paulie,
he would.
I started watching the Pete Rose documentary, the Charlie Hustle documentary on HBO last night. There's so much good Al Michaels in there. Young Al Michaels. I mean, they're interviewing old Al Michaels. That was the only one that was available. But Al was talking about young Al Michaels, how young Al Michaels used to run with young Pete Rose to the dog track, to the horse track. They were gambling buddies in the early 70s.
That's Sinatra-esque. My favorite Al Michaels footnote is the Miracle on Ice, Do You Believe in Miracles, was the second hockey game he'd ever called in his life.
Wow.
It was the second one he'd ever called. He did not call hockey. He liked hockey as a sport. Someone else couldn't do it. He pitched in, did one hockey game before that, and then Miracle on Ice was the second hockey match he'd ever called.
Paul, you got to stop. I know this is your first time on this show, on this station. Uh-oh. You have your Saturday show. We don't say hockey. We don't say the word. People turn the radios off. Like we don't bring up hockey. We didn't bring up hockey when the Hawks were on a title run. It. We never talked about it. We're not going to start now.
That's not true.
I know that's your agenda, your narrative. You're the hockey guy.
For the record,
no,
Paulie. I was on the ice after they won. After they won the cup in Philly and in Boston, I was there for 17 seconds. So that's factually incorrect.
You were there for longer than 17 seconds. So you saw the whole game.
Shane, if I say hockey again, just hit the dump button like I'm swearing.
Yeah. No problem. Well, I'll tell Tanya to hit the dump button because I also have to tell him to do that. So,
Paulie, your thoughts on Nick Foligno being named the captain of the Blackhawks?
My captain. Well,
I did see the video. They brought his kids out with the jersey. It's a must-cry situation.
Yeah, I'm sorry I brought it up, Shane. That's on me. That's on me.
That's so you're gonna. If you work a second day here, it will be also a must-cry situation. We're always crying.
I like that. We're gonna keep that going forward. A must-cry situation.
A must-cry.
Yeah. If the Bears lose in Indy, is it a must-cry situation?
Oh,
let's take your calls.
We were cooking.
He is Paulie Pabst from the DP show. I am, and I should say the Dan Patrick show. The DP show is a completely different situation.
You said it, not me.
Depending on what website you go
to. That's a must-cry situation for some.
Yeah.
It depends, really. It depends. It can be. That's for damn sure. We have Shane Waldron's sound. He gives us a corporate kind of flavorless version of a Tony Wise classic that we must discuss on 670 The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station. Spiegel and Company. Afternoons on the Score.
All I want to try to do is get a guy to use his ass and legs and block somebody.
Oh, that voice is just so football. Legendary offensive line coach Tony Wise, who has traveled throughout the football universe, pretty much everywhere that Jimmy Johnson went, along with Dave Wanstead, along with some of their pals, be it Norv Turner, you know, like it's quite a cavalcade of stars that have gone from Oklahoma State to Miami, then to the Dallas Cowboys, some of them then to the Miami Dolphins. Paulie, these with Paul Pabst here on Spiegel & Company, these coaching posses, they tend to travel in groups and stick with their pals, don't they?
Oh, yeah, that Andy Reid, they love using that coaching tree word, and then he gets credit when they win a Super Bowl. So, yeah, they rehire each other. Bill Belichick, if you went somewhere and you don't doesn't work out, back in the day, he'd rehire you.
Yes, and
the Andy Reid tree?
A separate topic is how eventually all offensive coordinators will go by the name of either Kubiak or Shanahan. It is just a fate that we are all going to have to live with at some point.
Yeah, and back in the day, just a couple years ago, if you even knew Sean McVay, you'd probably get a good job in the NFL. You didn't even have to know football, but if you're friends, yeah, acquaintances, high school buddies of Sean McVay, sure, and had cool hair, yeah, you're getting a job in the NFL.
Yeah, that's kind of that can be how it works. That's for damn sure. But anyway, that voice, Tony Wise, we love Tony Wise. We've had Tony Wise in studio. We've had him on the line, and really anything he says. One time, it was very fun, Paulie. We were about to say goodbye to Tony Wise and have on Adam McKay, legendary comedy writer,
yeah,
Anchorman creator, Talladega Nights creator. We're about
Will Ferrell partner.
Absolutely. So we're about to have on Adam McKay for like the third time, and Tony was asking who it was, and then we told him that Adam McKay was next, and Tony gave us this.
Tell him I said hello.
And so we did. We said to Adam McKay, Tony Wise says hello.
Paulie, have you ever seen The Searchers? The movie The Searchers?
I haven't seen that one.
That is Tony Wise's favorite movie.
Yeah, he leans on that. So, you know, it's a wonderful association we have with Tony Wise. But back in the day when I was a producer, Paulie, I used to produce back on The Score in the mid-90s for McNeil and Boers in the afternoon.
Heard of him.
And so while Wani was here as the head coach, Tony Wise, the offensive line coach, and he used to describe sacks in a very specific way. And in fact, when we had him on in 2021, I was able to ask Tony Wise about that famous scorism that he gave to McNeil and Boers back in the day.
I told them, Dan, Terry, right? Dan and Terry.
You
I said,
it.
Look, guys, I understand that you're annoyed by these 12 sacks we gave up. And just assuming that, you know, that the left tackle stinks, the right tackle stinks. I said, all sacks are not the same. It's a fact. The number one sack, obviously, someone got whipped. Okay, we understand that. What they don't understand is number two could be, I did not know I had him. Okay, so a guy comes scot-free and sacks a quarterback. There's number three, is that I was supposed to have help. And I sat over here and Jerome Brown beat me inside, but I was waiting for the center to be there.
So every sack is a specific occurrence.
It is. It's a specific occurrence.
So that was the famous scores, and we had the tape, and I used to the cart, and I used to fire the cart with my little finger, you know, as you had to do.
Yeah.
Every sack is a specific occurrence, which is
when he says sacks, he has an X on the end, and instead of KS, it sounds completely different. It's like that bit on Saturday Night Live a bunch of years ago with Alec Baldwin. You'll enjoy my sweaty balls. It was very much like that. You can make a play out of it and just have fun with it.
Sacks are specific occurrence.
Every sack is a specific occurrence. And so, of course, the mind reels. The mind wanders. Today, Shane Waldron was talking about all the sacks that were happening to Caleb Williams.
I think the sack thing, you know, we're going to look at those all as individual entities right there.
So the sack thing, we're going to look at them all as individual entities right there. That is the corporate flavorless version from Shane Waldron.
How about a nice follow-up? Coach, I'd like to ask you about the collective sacks, not the individual sacks. I can't talk about that right now. I can't talk about that.
Sacks are specific occurrence.
I think the sack thing, you know, we're going to look at those all as individual entities right there.
That's what Lance Armstrong has, right? An individual entity with the, right. with the sack?
Club Uno.
Yeah. Fun fact, Tony Parrish, former Bears safety, also had an individual entity. There within the sack.
Tanny, we're talking about just one testicle.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for whiteboarding that for me. I appreciate
that.
Just one single testicle. That's good, yeah.
Schwarzenegger, I believe, member of the One Ball Club. Google it, Shane. Would you look it up?
Is that the steroids, probably?
Or is that
John Kruk, right? John Kruk also in that club?
John Kruk.
I'm Googling who has one ball.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
Your computer's going to lock up.
The Chicago Bulls.
John Kruk is a uniball. I believe Adolf Hitler, a famous uniball.
Paulie? Oh, ranker.com, 22 celebrities with one or fewer testicles.
All right.
Yeah, Lance Armstrong. Tupac, whether or not he still has just the one, people don't know.
I don't know.
Tom Green, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Hitler, Bruce Lee. I wonder how that happened.
Wow.
Napoleon Bonaparte. I'll just drop some in throughout the show.
Shane, as journalists, we should call each of these people to confirm this. I mean, that'd be a great day for you. Just burn the phones.
Yep.
The ball and it's the most important thing.
Yeah, it is. God. Oh, Trey Cool, the drummer from Green Day.
Oh, there you go.
Shouldn't he be called Uno Cool?
Uno Cool. God, you beat me to that. God, that's going to bother me. That's going to bother me for like a month. Damn it, Shane.
God.
See, I knew Hitler was a uniball. I wonder if that's why he was so upset, you think. You know, is that what it was?
Could have been.
You guys know the joke, right? Why? You know why Hitler didn't drink? Because it made him mean. That's why.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm laying out on this one.
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
I forget how we got here. Sacks. Oh, yeah. So we're going to hear from Shane Waldron in like an hour, but I didn't hear anything or see anything that he said that really changed my mind about where we are. There's a lot of pressure on that dude. I need to see that dude, along with the offensive line coach, Chris Morgan. I need to see them step up in tandem and fix what they can, especially because they're not changing personnel on that offensive line at all.
Yeah, it's really frustrating because you want to talk to the offensive line coach and say, what are you actually doing different in practice? Which he's not going to tell you. And Shane Waldron, you know, you're not bringing in two all-pro offensive linemen anytime soon. So how are you going to change the scheme, change the lineup, two tight ends, whatever it may be? Because I'd rather have less guys going out for a pass and the pass getting off. You know, that's it.
Yeah. You know, it's... something that Schlereth said to us the other day has been rolling around my head, that like the athletic discrepancy between the offensive linemen and every single person that they're blocking is so vast that you can't just leave them out there one-on-one and expect them to do that job every time. It is the main spot on the football field where the coaches have to earn their money. And that resonated with me because there's so many times you're just watching the film, like, how did Tevin Jenkins not block that guy? Or how did Darnell Wright actually get juked by Danielle Hunter? How much better of an athlete is Danielle Hunter than Darnell Wright, no matter how good Darnell Wright is?
Well, I think that's the most frustrating thing after watching the game against the Texans. You look at the Bears' offensive line, and all the schemes in the world can't improve talent. That was a subpar talent performance against a really talented defensive line. And the next few games should be a little bit easier, and DeForest Buckner, but that's one where you're like, we may have to wait to the offseason to actually address something like this.
Walk us through the next month or so, because you think this is an opportunity here for the Bears over the next month, Paul.
I actually think this is the most important stretch of the entire season. I expected a loss to Houston. 1-1 is no big deal. At Indianapolis against a quarterback who's ripe to be intercepted by a great defensive backfield that the Bears have. The Los Angeles Rams are down. You're at home. They don't have their two best wide receivers. Their offensive line is almost in as bad shape as the Bears. Carolina, that should be an automatic win. It shouldn't even be a close game. Jacksonville has lost 7 games in a row and does not seem to be fulfilling anything that they had 2 years ago. If you could win all four of those games, you put yourself in position for the back half of the season, which is drastically tougher.
So, I mean, those four games, that's your next four. You're sitting at 5-1 after the London trip. You'd feel awfully good. Jacksonville, I know. So it's crazy. They've lost 7 in a row. But there's like, there is talent there, and obviously Trevor Lawrence being what he is. Is our friend Adam McKay still the running backs coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars? He told us that a few years ago. We'll have to check back in with him and see if he is. Yeah, he segued naturally to that. But, man, you're painting a rosy picture because 5-1 coming back from London, they'd be one of the good stories around the league, and we'd be looking forward to 2 road games at Washington, at Arizona, and then home for New England before they even start the divisional tilts on the 17th of November.
Yeah, you get to a bye week at 5-1. Again, that's best case scenario. You could play 500 ball the rest of the year and end up in the playoffs.
Well, it kind of puts a capper on what we led with, which is that amidst all the noise, if we had told you in August that the Bears are 1-1, having lost a 1-score game in Houston on Sunday night, you're like, okay, all right, let's roll.
Yeah, sign me up.
Yeah, but it's how it's felt because of the sameness of years past and because of the fears of what that offensive line inability might mean for the rest of the year. He's Paul Pabst from the Dan Patrick Show and from the tailgate Saturday mornings here on The Score. Let's talk about the state of quarterback play around the NFL. It's Spiegel & Company on 670 The Score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.